Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
It's chapter number 10, familiar scripture. When somebody mentions the Romans road, that's what they're talking about, is Romans chapter 10, where the plan of salvation and the way to be saved is clearly declared. And I've got a specific thought this morning God's laid on our heart, and just want to be obedient to that. And I'll do my best to share it, and we'll just trust God to do the rest. Romans chapter number 10, begin at verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Bow with us if you would. Father, thank you for your word. We pray that you'd open your word to our hearts. Lord, earnestly we ask you open our heart to the word. We realize that there's a responsibility here. And so we, Lord, doing our best to hear, to allow you to speak by your spirit to correct and change and help us. We thank you for what you're going to do. As we trust in you alone, we pray for the unction and the help to do it. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. I want to use this morning from verse 14 and 15, just a simple thought. I'll read the text to you again, and then I'll simply give you the thought, and we certainly desire your prayers. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Now, Paul, I believe, is being very rational about the problem. For someone that does not know Christ, they will not call upon him. How will they call upon someone in whom they have not believed? How can we expect someone to call on Christ if they don't believe in Christ? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach except he be sent? I want you to think about that today and this simple thought. Somebody told me about Jesus. Somebody told me about Jesus. It's beyond our imagination that a person having no understanding of the Word of God could come to the conclusion, number one, that there is a God, but more than that, that he sent his son died, and his son rose again to pardon them from their sins of whom they've never read. It goes beyond reason, right? And yet we have a world today of unchurched people who have never heard of Jesus Christ. Oh, maybe in passing. Maybe they use his name as a byword. Maybe they use his name in vain as they curse something or simply say it without meaning or talking to him. We find ourselves in a place today where we have to ask the question, how will they know Jesus if we don't tell them, right? And isn't that the commission of God, is to tell people the good news that there is a Christ, and that he does love them, that he died for them. And so, and you know, as far-fetched as it may be to them, somebody's got to tell them about Jesus. Somebody has to tell them there was a cross and why he died. Somebody has to reveal unto the rest of those that they are sinners in the eyes of an almighty God who is their creator, and they'll stand before him one day. And that leaves you and I as those that have to do it. As we read to you the verse that Victor shared this morning, I was reminded that the responsibility given to the church is to be sowers of the seed. We don't necessarily have to make it grow, and thank God for that, but we do have to sow it. We have to tell somebody about Jesus. Give a quick inventory for you. I wonder how many of us this week, just this week, try to inventory your life and remember how many you shared the good news of Christ with. How often we come short of that simple thing, to share the good news, the glad tidings of Jesus Christ with someone else. You say, well, it's really not that significant. It is. It's simply, it's a rational issue. If somebody didn't tell you about Jesus, would you know? No, you would not know. If no one had ever mentioned his name, if no one had ever preached to you, if the Holy Spirit hadn't opened your heart one day and taken what you had heard and applied the Holy Spirit and the witness of it to its truth, you would never know who Jesus Christ is. You'd still be in your sins yet today. Somebody told you about Jesus. We're reminded in the Old Testament of a little girl who had been taken captive by the Syrians, and the Bible said that her master, Naaman, he was a man that was great and honored and had done wondrous things and certainly was revered by all, but the Bible said he was a leper, right? He was leprous, and there wasn't anybody could come around him. And one day while the little maid was waiting on his wife, the Naaman's wife, she made a comment to her, and she said, I would to God that my Lord Naaman would just go down to know Elijah, the prophet, for he could heal him of his leprosy. And you know what happened there? It was just like a snowball after that. She told her, and then she told somebody else, and they told Naaman, and Naaman told the king of Syria, and before long the king of Syria wrote a letter to the king of Israel, and before you know it, Naaman was at Elijah's house. You say, how'd that all happen? Because one little girl said, I believe that God could heal him. She began to tell somebody about the power of God. I wonder today how many of us shirk the responsibility that we have when we have the awesome truth that abides within us. We know it's in us, but we have the truth that abides within us, and we fail to share with our neighbor, with our loved one, with our friend, that Jesus Christ is real, that Jesus Christ loves them. We're reminded as well when Naomi had got down into Moab and she had lost everything there. We remember how she lost her husband first and then both of her sons. And there she had two daughters-in-law of that land. And simply, we would end that story in a tragic, tragic end. And yet what we find is that somebody came through Moab, and you know what they said to Naomi? They said they bred in Israel again. That God has come back to Israel. That God has poured his blessings out upon Israel once more. And that the barley harvest, the wheat harvest, all of these things are taking place. And there is an abundance at home. And the Bible said, Naomi, having heard this truth, she packed up her stuff and she went back home. You know what? If nobody had ever told Naomi, you know where she'd still have been? Stuck in Moab. I tell you, there's people all around us that are stuck in their sins. They're bound by the very things that they want to be free of in their heart. And yet somebody needs to tell them the truth. Somebody needs to tell them about Jesus. Someone needs to remind them that if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. I believe God today has laid upon us all the importance of telling someone about Jesus. The great commission given to those there in the book of Matthew was to go into all the world and to preach unto every creature, teaching them, baptizing them, and teaching them all the things that Jesus had taught them. I wonder how many of us take serious the Great Commission of Christ. How many of us think it's just the preacher's responsibility to be telling someone about Jesus? How many of you have excluded yourself from the responsibility of preaching the gospel to everyone you meet, everyone within your own heart, within your own family, within your own realm? How many of us have excused ourselves from telling someone about Jesus? We make an assumption that they already know. We make an assumption that they won't care, or somehow or another that they won't appreciate being told about him. Listen, there was never from God given to us a responsibility to evaluate the listener. What we have to do is to be obedient to tell the word, to tell the truth. The Bible said when Philip had found him, that he immediately set about trying to tell his friend. The Bible said that he found Nathanael sitting under a tree, and he told Nathanael, he said, "We found the Christ." Nathanael looked at him and said, "Who is he?" And he said, "Why, it's Jesus of Nazareth." Nathanael said, "Why can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip told him, he said, "Come and see." Thank God for somebody that cared enough for me one day to say, "Come and see. Would you know him? Would you hear about him for just a moment?" And I'm not under any illusion that I can save anybody. I cannot. But I'll tell you the truth. If you can get in the presence of God, he can save you. Yeah. I ain't responsible for your salvation. If you go to hell, it's on you. Yeah. But I am responsible to tell you about the one that can keep you out of hell. You'll have to respond to it. But I'll tell you, the simplest thing he ever asked me to do was to tell somebody that Jesus can save them. You say, "Why? I think it to be difficult, or I think it to be hard, or it terrifies me to have to share Christ with another." Listen, the reason he lays it upon you is because you know. You don't have to conjure up some kind of image of who Christ really is. If you've been born again, then you know. He's not asking the world to tell somebody about Jesus. He's asking those that know Jesus to tell somebody about Jesus. See, Philip didn't have the power to do anything with Nathanael until he knew him. And when he did know him, he felt compelled to tell his friend, to tell his loved one, to look him in the eye and say, "Nathanael, we found Jesus Christ. We found him." And then just enough curiosity from Nathanael to get himself saved. Right? Philip looked him in the eye and he said, "I can't tell you all about him, but come and see. I know where he's at." Right? What God's asking us to do is not something beyond what we can do. Right? Every one of us have the ability to declare the good tidings, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean you have to be called of God to preach, but you do have to be born again. The only prerequisite I know of to being somebody that can share the good news or sow seed is you've got to have gone to the place where the seed is given. You've got to know the one that can make it grow. You've got to believe in what it is that he's given you. And the only way to do that is to have been saved yourself. What a foolish concept to ask somebody that's unsaved to stand up and tell somebody how to get saved. Truth is, God has not asked the unsaved to tell the word. No, what he said clearly to the apostle, he said, is, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear except somebody tells them?" How are they going to hear except somebody has shared the gospel? Somebody has told the good news of Jesus. Listen, if your neighbor's lost, we have a simple responsibility to look him in the eye and say, "You know what? I'm going to heaven because Jesus Christ died for me." Are you? Would you like to? I can't save you, but I'd like to point you to him. Right? I can't do the work, but I know the one that can. I'd like to know that there was confidence enough in the body of these believers to be able to go outside the walls and say, "You know what? I believe you ought to, if you'd just come to church, I believe you'd get introduced to Jesus." How many of us are confident that if we could just bring somebody within the congregation that they'd get introduced? Now, they might not accept him, but that ain't our responsibility. That's God's. He'll save who he'll save, amen. And whoever will receive him, amen, they can be saved. But the responsibility is to tell somebody about Jesus. I'm so grateful that somebody shared with me that Jesus loved me. Somebody did. Now, I can think of my life, all kinds of people that poured Jesus into it. And then the very day that it came that the Lord Christ spoke to my heart, it wasn't a hard deal for me. You say, how come? Because somebody told me all about him. I'll tell you right now, that's an advantage. If you're raising your children in church and you're teaching them about Jesus Christ, boy, they blessed. They've got an advantage because there will be a day come that the Lord will speak to them. And when he does, they'll know who he is and they'll know what to do. But there's a bunch of folks in this world that have never heard about Jesus. They don't know who he is. Victor, bless his heart, he's over there in Rome. Right? Thought he was going over there to help Romans see that Christ was the answer. Now he is preaching to Afghans in refugee camps in the middle of Rome. But his heart is that somebody could hear the good news. God sent him across the world to do it. Now I'd say most of you are thankful to God he ain't called you to be a missionary. Anybody want to amen that? Because he could. Right? We all fearful of that truth. It's that he could call me to be a missionary to somewhere in the middle of nowhere. What he has called you to do is to minister to the people next door. The next cubicle. The next job. The next classroom. God has called us to tell people about Jesus. Because here's what I can tell you. If they never hear, how are they ever going to believe? How are they going to believe in something they've never heard of? Now, I hope at least we understand the truth of this. The Bible said, let me give you just a couple of more quick analogies, and I'll leave you with it. But the woman that had the issue of blood, she'd done spend everything trying to get better. She was dying, right? She didn't have many days left. She was at the end of her rope. But according to Luke, she heard that Jesus was coming. You reckon that was an important part of the whole equation? This woman would have died unless she met Jesus that day. How'd she know Jesus was coming? Somebody told her. May have been in passing. You ever think, well, there are those people out there that say, well, when the Holy Spirit just really shows me, I'll tell somebody the good news. Well, pardon me, the Holy Spirit has already shown you. I just read it to you. Quit excusing yourself from the responsibility of telling somebody about Jesus. Because if they don't know, they're going to go to hell. I can promise you that much. Because without Jesus, you can't get in. And he died for them. He loves them. Of all the things that we ought to be able to do, the simplest of them ought to be able to look somebody in the eye and say, I know that Jesus loves you. That he died for you. And that as a sinner, you need him. And as a sinner, I need him. And he redeemed me one day. He called me one day, and I knew by his spirit and his drawing that I needed him. And when I called on him, he made me a new creature. Huh? You ought to be able to look in somebody's eyes and say, you ain't going to believe this, but I don't even like the stuff I used to like. The things I once loved, I don't even love them no more. Right? You can flip them out with some of this stuff. You say, the things I used to hate, guess what? I love them. You know, you couldn't pour me in a church. Now you can't keep me out of it. Now you might run them off with some of that, but some of it's going to stick. Some of it's going to challenge them. Some of it's going to recognize in their hearts that they need Jesus also. Somebody has to tell somebody about Jesus. Now, Could God have done it a different way? Yes, he could have. Right? He could have chose a different method of declaring the gospel to the world. But let me be clear. He did not choose a different method. It's by word of mouth. That is how the gospel goes out. is by word of mouth. He chooses preachers. He calls preachers specifically for multiple purposes, pastoring, teaching, all of these things. And the preacher has a responsibility as much as everybody in the house to tell somebody else about Jesus. But understand, the responsibility to share the gospel is everyone's responsibility. No exception. Everyone is responsible for telling someone else about Jesus. Now, according to the word of God, the Bible said that when you come to Christ, he'll maketh you not ashamed. You say, preacher, I'm a little bit fearful about telling somebody about Jesus. I get that. That's all flesh is what that is. Right? Your flesh does not want to tell somebody else about Jesus. It never will. Right? Your flesh is not about anything that's spiritual. It's not about anything that is of God. According to the word of God, your flesh is contrary to your spirit. We know that. But it also says that we have to bring that flesh under subjection, and we have to walk not in the flesh, but in the spirit. And friend, if you walk in the spirit, you will tell people about Jesus. Somebody had to tell this woman that Jesus was coming. And you know what? She did something about it. Having heard that Jesus was coming, the Bible said she pressed through the crowd, saying to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. Somebody told her about Jesus, and she got changed that day. She got changed. Goes on and on, but let me at least say this. Regardless of what your situation is, you may be like Zacchaeus, right? The one they sung about here earlier. You may be a little man, and you may be trying to see him, and you can't figure it out, right? Somebody said to you, Jesus is coming through town. What's all the crowd? What's all the fuss? Jesus is coming through town. And Zacchaeus, in his heart, in his own curiosity, he ran out ahead and climbed up a tree. Little did he know that just that simple word that somebody shared with him, that Jesus is coming, would be enough for him to climb a tree to see him. And when Jesus got to the tree, what did he do? He stopped. And he looked up in the tree. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. He said, I'm going to dwell at your house today. The Lord called Zacchaeus that day. It might have been inadvertently. I have no idea. By chance, that someone told even this man everyone despised, Zacchaeus, Jesus is coming. Maybe he just overheard the crowd. I had one man tell me, he said that the best way to tell people about Jesus is in twos. Said, well, what are you talking about? He said, well, take a friend, right? And when you get within hearing distance of them, look at your friend and say, did you know that Jesus loves you? Or if you're afraid of telling them, just say it loud enough so they can hear, but tell it to somebody else. They say, why no? Tell me about it. It doesn't really matter how you do it, but they're going to have to hear it or they're going to miss it. They can't believe in something they've not heard. Can you imagine God sitting up there? Right? He could have picked any way he wanted to tell people. And I still ain't figured out why he chose stuff like me. But he did. He said, the world will know, but they'll know through my witnesses. And I am a witness. I cannot deny that Jesus Christ is alive. I am a witness. I am a witness that he's not in a tomb. He's in my heart. I am a witness of his saving power. I am a witness that he can do all things. I am a witness that he is the Savior of the world. And he's chose me and you and all of us in our different ways to tell people about Jesus. Teresa had a papa, come get a song. I'm going to stop right there. But Teresa had a grandpa, he loved to tell people about Jesus. So he'd ride down the road, and back then people hitchhiked. And boy, they was in a bad way if he was on the road. Wasn't they, Donna? He'd stop, Where are you headed? Oh, I'll take you there. And as soon as they shut the door and he hit the throttle, he'd start. First thing he wanted to know is if he was going to heaven. Captive audience, right, at 55 miles an hour. Had him right where he wanted. They couldn't get away. But you know what he took serious? The commission. Right? I might not choose his method. Now, there's something to that method, though. It'll work. But that may not be my method or yours. Right? I'm not big on picking up lots of hitchhikers. Or you get them at the grocery store. Right? The person behind you. There's all kinds of opportunities for us just to do the simplest of things, and that's tell somebody that I know him. Would you like to? I know him. Could I invite you to come and worship with us? Right? Maybe you don't even know him. I'd like for you to just come and hear about him. Come and see. If he ain't real, don't ever come back. See, I happen to know him. I know he's real. I can make such a statement. Because if they ever get into the presence of God, they might leave and never come back, but I can tell you what they'll never deny, that he was there. Somebody's got to tell. How are they going to believe in whom they have not heard? We have a great opportunity all around us. The harvest is great. It's white. If ever there was a time this world needs some good news, it's now. And guess what? I've got some. I got the bestest news ever. We need to be telling it. Well, stand as we sing. If you're here this morning and maybe you need to get right with God one way or the other, make it right.